Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey. Roger, in many ways, this has been a week of milestones. Earlier on Monday of this week, you reached 3,000 jump starts, and this is our 300th podcast episode.
Unbelievable. That's a lot of stuff.
A lot of writing and a whole lot of talking.
It is. It is. But we enjoy doing this. This is our passion, and we really like being able to help people, share things with people, and teach the Word of God to others. This month and these Friday podcasts, we're looking at the prodigal son, probably the best known parable of Jesus. It's my favorite, and it's just filled and layered with all kinds of lessons. Last week, if you missed ours, it's still on our website, and go back and grab it. Last week, we just kind of gave the overview of the chapter. It's kind of like the 32,000-foot view, and we just kind of put this in the context of Luke 15. Why did Jesus tell the story? Why does this fit in with these other two parables, right, linked together here? And looked at really where this all fits in that picture. Now what we want to do is we want to start zooming in, and we want to start looking at the individual characters here. And so today we want to focus on the prodigal son. That's really what the story is about in many ways. The focus and the intention of all things is going to be on the Father. The Father is God here, and this is about what God looks like. This is who God is. But it's that prodigal that brings us to the light, and this is why Jesus is telling this story. And so we want to just really focus on the front part of this parable today, and then next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about his return, then the father, and then the elder son. But there is something about what happens at the very beginning here that's some lessons for us as we think about this.
Let me just read the first few verses to get our minds reacquainted with how Jesus tells this story. Luke 15, beginning in verse 11, he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need."
And as we said last week, and even just a minute ago, we love this parable. But I believe to the first audience that heard this, they would have been very upset. They were shaking their head. This is a Jewish audience. And the very idea that a young Jewish boy asking his father, "Give me my inheritance," really means you're living too long. I can't wait for you to die, so give it to me now. I'm going to get it anyway, so just give it to me now. Very bold and brazen for him to ask that. And for the father to give it to him. Many in that audience would have just been shaking their head thinking, what kind of father is this? But that sets the background of the story. And what we want to focus on today is this call of the far country. The far country was in this young man's mind, and that's what he was wanting to go after.
So when you think, okay, the far country in the mind, not just of a hypothetical young man 2,000 years ago, but maybe in the minds of a young person in 2022, there's an allure of maybe going a long ways away from home, away from the watchful eye of a father. Why is that so tempting to a young person then or even now, do you think?
First of all, you know, this young man had been thinking this. I mean, you can see this is all planned out. And what the passage really brings this out to us when after he asked for his share of the estate, verse 13 says, "And not many days later, He wasn't still on the fence thinking, well, should I? He had been in the far country even before his feet had left the house and had really been thinking about this. This is not a boy in the country who wants to go to the city. This is not a boy in a city who wants to live in the country. This has nothing to do with location. This is somebody that wants to get away from his father's rules, his father's faith, and I want to be independent. And what he has in his mind is just loose, sinful, selfish living with absolutely no rules. And that appeals to a lot of people today. That home can be your actual home. Bored with being a housewife. Getting nothing out church services, a dull marriage, tied to a job that has no satisfaction, nothing to challenge you, the same old, same old. And you just daydream, wouldn't it be interesting just to hop on that plane and leave and tell nobody where I'm at? Wouldn't it be fun just to go to Vegas and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? That call of that far country, it's the thinking of you. It's the thinking of freedom. And, you know, Satan is behind all this. Satan is the one who's singing this song, and this young man's listening to this. It's telling you that you deserve this. It's telling you that you are not appreciated. No one understands what you're going through. No one respects you. No one cares for you. And so when you're alone, when you're by yourself, when you're having a bad day, when you're at night, it just tugs and tugs on your heart. For a lot of our young people, they don't realize how honored and blessed they've been by mom and dad sheltering them. They've kept them safe. They've kept them from the dangers of lots of things that's out there today. But they see it in school and they hear about it. And all they hear is the fantasy about that. And that tugs on the heart of someone who's never been there. It also tugs on the heart of someone who's been there but came out of it. But they still remember the taste. I remember that taste of drugs. I remember that taste of alcohol. I remember that freedom I had. I could just do whatever I want to do. And that kind of tugs on them to get back. And it tugs on those who are discouraged and feel like they're trapped and going nowhere. And I believe this call comes loud and strong through social media, through entertainment, through TV. You look at marriage as it's portrayed in TV and Hollywood. It's always broken, dysfunctional, and unsatisfying. But where's the freedom? It's in people who are not married, having sexual activities. It's people who are loose living. That's how it's presented. And you put that in you enough times, you start thinking, that's where it is. That's where I need to be. You feel like you're missing out, and it tugs on your heart.
Yeah, I appreciate how the English Standard Version renders the sort of living that this young man engages in as reckless. Some of our older English translations render it prodigal. That may not mean a whole lot to us outside of the title that we've given the parable of the prodigal son. Some use wasteful, but I think reckless, maybe for a 21st century audience, gets our attention maybe a little bit more. It's closely related to another word that we don't use a whole lot, but it shows up later in the New Testament, debauchery. You might remember how the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 18, tells Christians, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, talking to Christians, say, well, Roger, just like you've described, this may have been what you had a taste for in the past, and there are people maybe who have participated in these sorts of things with you, and they might be surprised that you're no longer joining them in the same flood of debauchery. It is the complete lack of self-control, self-denial. I'm just going to plunge myself completely into me, what I want to do. I'm going to live purely in the moment. And I think a lot can be learned at how Paul there in that Ephesians 5 passage contrasts debauchery with being filled with the Spirit. In many ways, this young son wants to leave the Spirit. He wants to leave the Father behind at home. He wants to go and live in the land of complete self-gratification. He lives recklessly.
And in his mind, he'll never be happier until he's got distance between him and his Father. Mm. And as the story unfolds, three things happen real quickly he never planned on. He never planned on running out of money. I mean, what's your plans when you have no money? Well, he didn't have any plans. He didn't plan on his friends leaving him. I mean, he was having a great time with a bunch of people, but where were they when he needed them? There was nobody. He was alone. And then he never anticipated being alone, having nobody to help. We'll see as we continue this next time, we're going to talk about famine arose. He didn't anticipate a famine. There's always a famine in your life somewhere, and he didn't anticipate those things. So in his mind, this is just going to be a complete dream come true. It turned into the worst nightmare for him. And as we'll see in coming weeks, he winds up working with a Gentile, feeding pigs, wanting to eat what the pigs were eating, how low he could have sunk. And that showed him that call of the far country wasn't a true call. Now, I've got five things from an old sermon I want to share with you that talks about this far country and the reality of it. First thing we need to realize is it's not all painful for the moment. I believe when that young man first left home, I think he was walking quickly. His pocket was full of money. He was excited. And for however long that money lasted, he was on top of the mountain, he thought. We've got to be careful that we don't paint the picture to our young people that the life of sin is always waking up in the gutter. Some people are in sin and they love it. They're having a great time. They don't see the eternal consequences. They don't see how it's hurting others. But we've got to be careful that we don't paint a picture that it's getting root canals, because it's not for some people. And that's a reality we have to see. Secondly, we need to realize life in the far country can last a long time. We don't know in the story how long this is supposed to have been. Had the young man been robbed the very first night he left home, he probably would have turned right back around. Had he thrown up the first time he tasted alcohol, he probably would have never drunk alcohol again. If he ran out of money quickly, he would have been right back. But there seems to be some time that passed here. And sometimes that's the reality of sin. A person could be in a far country for a period of time. Number three, as we'll talk about next week, coming to a census, some prodigals never do. And that's a sad reality. Some prodigals never come back home. Some prodigals, when a famine occurs, they just go deeper and deeper into their hole, and they never come out. And we pray and we hope, and throughout this series, we're going to try to give you some pointers and some things you can help if you got prodigals in your family. But that's the reality we have to see. Fourth lesson we see here is that the far country lies. It tells you you're going to be better off. It tells you you're going to be happier. But as the story unfolds, we see the prodigal in a pig pen feeding pigs. And do you think at that moment he would write home and say, "Dear Dad, wish you could be with me. Had the time of my life." No, he wasn't. Ashamed, guilty, alone, hopeless. That's how the Bible pictures this. That's what sin does to you. It paints a glorious picture at first, but the reality and the consequences come crashing down, and a far country always, always lies to us. And then the fifth lesson here is the journey back home often is longer and harder than the journey to the far country. I expect he walked home a little slower than he walked out. And I imagine he walked home with his head held down with guilt and shame and embarrassment, but he still came home.
Roger, I'll ask you, put you on the spot, but even give you a moment to think about it. I'll answer my own question first. As you're listing those five lessons, I'm wondering, okay, somebody driving their teenager to school this morning is listening to this, or someone maybe cleaning the house and there's a young person within earshot of a smart speaker that is playing this episode. What can we do to put that call of the far country into perspective. You know, we've acknowledged that the far country is tempting, it's alluring, it's there all around us. What can we do to acknowledge that temptation and cast it in the proper light? And as I'm thinking how to answer that question, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament just immediately comes to my mind. It is a powerful section of scripture right there in the middle of your Bible that shows you the good and the bad over and over again, the wisdom and the folly. It shows you the good, the bad, and the ugly of life choices. And I think one of the great principles behind a book like Proverbs is I don't have to commit every mistake in the book in order to learn lessons. I can listen to the wisdom of others. I can listen to some who've made really good and really foolish decisions. And if I'm willing to listen, there's a lot that I can learn about the blessings of a relationship with God and the folly, the danger of temptation. What else would you say to put that call of the far country into the right perspective?
You know, we have to realize how much God wants to help us. And one of the great passages in Proverbs that talks about alcohol says, do not look upon the wine as it sparkles in a cup. Well, we could just stop there and say, well, why not? Because it looks good. That's why.
Yeah.
And it looks appealing. If you walk through the grocery store and you look at the liquor section, you ever notice how fancy the bottles are and how cool they look? I mean, they don't look like gallons of bleach. You know, they look appealing, and there's that appeal to the far country. I think one thing moms and dads can do is be honest with your kids. I think sometimes our kids look at us and think, well, you never messed up, and if you ever sinned, you probably just told a lie, and that was all you ever did. And a lot of us have a dark side. We've been in that far country. And sometimes presenting that picture that here we are and we're polished and we're perfect in Jesus, which we're not, but we come across that image and here they are, they're struggling. And to know that, yeah, I had bullies when I was in school, or I was a bully when I was in school. Yeah, I had somebody beat me up in school, or I beat somebody up when I was in school. I know what alcohol tastes like because I tasted it before. I've smoked a joint before. You know, to be honest with your kids, and, you know, first thing is they may fall on the floor and say, you did that? Yeah, I did. And that's why I needed Jesus. That was my far country. And you're going to have your far country. And to be honest with him, and to see that when we read these passages in the Bible, it's not just church stuff, as we sometimes call that. This is God trying to keep you on the straight sidewalk. He's trying to keep you out of the gutter. He's trying to keep you off the road where you may get hit. And when you follow his principles, you will be safe and you'll be helpful. So, I think home studies with kids would be great to just go through Proverbs. So practical. The first several chapters of Prodigal is nothing more than a father talking to his son. And he's telling them about things. I think some of them are maybe life stories, his own stories. And developing that deep belief in God. When God says, flee fornication, there's a reason for that. Now, Hollywood glamorizes that. And Hollywood said, that's where it's at. Look how fun that is. We need to see what God says and why God says that. And we need to see that when you live with God the righteous way, you don't have to worry about such things as AIDS or other sexual diseases or unwanted pregnancies or things like that. Those are all the consequences of far country. You don't have to worry about addictions. You don't have to worry about all these things that come along with other sins. And so to be honest and help them see that, I think, is so important.
You know, being plugged in to the life of a healthy, God-centered local church, you can't put a price tag on that. As you're talking, I was looking just a little ahead. Every Saturday, we read a chapter from Proverbs in our daily Bible reading, and tomorrow's reading is Proverbs 13, one of the passages that just seems to jump off the page in light of this discussion is verse 20, where Solomon writes, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. One of the blessings of being active in a local church is our children, our grandchildren, learn to walk with the wise. You may not think of it this way, but even bringing your children to the funeral home as someone who has, in the local church family, has passed away, bringing children to that sort of thing, bringing children to potluck, bringing children to Bible classes, all of these various things that are happening in the life of a local church, you're learning or teaching them to walk with the wise. It's not that they're walking with people, Roger, as you said, that are flawless, perfect, but they are people who have walked with God long enough to learn there's something to life the way God has told us all along it was meant to be.
Yeah, you know, I wrote Tuesday in our Jumpstarts about David's mighty men. I just picked out one of those David's mighty men. He fought a lion in the pit on a snowy day. I love that phrase. But surrounding David was these loyal, dedicated, valiant men who had histories of doing things, and they protected David. And you need to surround yourself. You need to have your friends, your closest friends, being people who are going to heaven. And if that's where I want to go, that's who I want to hang out with. I want to hang out with people going the same place I want to go. And so that's a lot of this. That's a lot of this. I think, you know, had Luke 15 been a real story, not a parable, but real people living back then, one of our discussions would be right now between the father and the son. They ought to be doing some talking. The son obviously was not happy, and the father should have picked up on that. And of course, we're not reading more into this because Jesus had one focus in his parable. But we need to be able to have communication in our homes, and you're not getting it at church. You need to talk about that. You need to see why. What can I do to make things different in my life? I just don't like people who are Christians. Well, why? And you talk about that and get some answers to such things as that. Because if you don't, you'll wind up with the pigs. And that's where the far country is.
Coming home to God. That is our focus here at the start of 2022 on Fridays. It's a time of year where a lot of people think about changes, resolutions, things that need to be turned around in this new year, and we hope that this series is helpful to you, getting you to look in the mirror, look around at the sort of changes perhaps that need to happen in your life right here and right now. Roger, Lord willing, next Friday we'll talk about how this young man gets turned around and comes back home. But I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope our discussion has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.